Hey guys, this week's episode is brought to you by Rothy's. You guys know I love my Rothy's shoes, which I bought and loved way before they were sponsors, and now Rothy's is making bags that are also made from repurposed plastic water bottles. So head over to rothys.com/YHL to check them out. That's rothys.com/YHL.
I'm John.
And I'm Sherry.
We like home stuff.
We like talking.
And we like the occasional game show sound effect. So welcome to Young House Love Has a Podcast, where we have deep and not so deep conversations about DIY, design, and life at home.
Well, life's been anything but normal, so we shouldn't be surprised that things get weird in this episode. We're covering a much-asked question about if our house sales or Florida plans have been derailed. Plus, let's talk about bidets.
Well, hey, everyone.
Has this last week felt like 100 years to you at home, too?
I know. We said at the start of last week's episode that we recorded it before all the news started coming out with the closings and everything like that. And it just feels like a different lifetime ago. It's like the bar for what is normal has shifted so much in the last few days that I know we're still wrapping our heads around it. I'm sure you guys are too. But like we said, we're going to do our best to keep our podcast going on schedule because if nothing else, it's a nice distraction for us. I hope it's a nice distraction for you. I mean, I guess we can't ignore it entirely because it's like
part of our world.
Yeah.
As Ariel would say, part of your world.
See, the impressions and the singing are not going to disappear in these strange times.
There's a long way of saying we're going to keep talking about house stuff, but obviously the world stuff's going to get in there because it affects the house stuff. And a lot of you have actually been DMing me to ask how this whole thing has affected our closings. Like, are they still happening? And our move to Florida, like, has that been complicated?
Yeah. Let's say up front, like, there are lots of things to be concerned about and worried about right now. And house stuff is probably pretty low on the list.
Trivial. I would totally acknowledge that. We are so fortunate in so many ways. All of us, everyone listening, I'm sure, can list 10 things they're grateful to have: a roof over their head, food to eat, whatever we all have. So in no way is this us like bemoaning things that we think are a bigger deal than anything else, because we will say right here, there's a lot of stuff that is a much bigger deal than anything we talk about on this podcast.
Well, and I'll say, like, honestly, I went through a lot of the bemoaning and I guess feeling sorry for myself or angry. Like, I don't know if they were the stages of grief or whatever. Like, there was negotiating at some
bargaining,
point.
Bargaining, yeah.
Yes, bargaining, that's it. because as we started to adjust to, like, what life is probably going to be like for a short while.
Or a long while,
is we were like, okay, well, the schools are closed. That means we can go to Florida early and get to work on the house early. Like, we had been planning to wait until our kids' spring break, which was scheduled for like the first full week of April. And we were, you know, getting antsy before all this to get down there and kind of like get our hands dirty a little bit because the house does need some fixing up before we can actually live there. And so, I mean, I'll be honest, my first reaction was like, school is closed for 2 weeks. That's like two extra weeks to work.
Yeah, it was totally bargaining and it was like denial because we were like, okay, we'll bring snacks in the car so we won't stop anywhere and we'll, you know, get a long-term Airbnb so we can cook in that kitchen. And basically we were thinking like, we'll quarantine out there. Little did we realize that every day things were changing so much that we'd worry, like, we don't probably want to be that far away from our house or, you
know. All of our supplies that we have here.
Yeah, John was like, can you pack everything in the car? And I was like, oh, watch me, John. Like, it was extreme denial that I thought I could get, like, all the food that we have.
Yes, proof of the extremeness of this denial is that right after the schools closed, I went out and bought tiling supplies because I had it in my head that we were going to go to Florida and tile. And that seems just not only completely dumb, but a very egregious misinterpretation of the news and what was going on.
Right. Now we know this is not a snow day. Everyone listening, we completely understand. We have totally been doing our best to make the best of it while completely being at home. But it is funny how the second you hear something, you're like, well, maybe it means I can do this. And then there's the bargaining and the denial. And then what are we settling to? Acceptance? Is that the last one?
Maybe. I mean, I think I've accepted that, like, you know, the best thing we can do right now is just stay put. So it does mean that our whole plan for moving to Florida is kind of a question mark. I mean, we still are going to do it. We own a house down there. Like, that is a definitive thing.
And this house is sold. So we have to be out of here in a certain amount of time. I think what it has turned into is that I thought maybe 2 weeks ago before this happened, I was kind of frustrated. Like, we only get 1 week during spring break to work on this house and everything else has to be remote. And like, maybe we could steal away to like do a long weekend or something with leaving the kids here with the grandparents. But generally, it was going to be like a long distance remodel. And there was this tight timeline where we were like, we have to get the house back to livable for June 15th. That was our moving goal.
Yeah. And can I interject just to remind people why it is not livable? Because this house that we bought is a fixer-upper. It currently does not have any working bathrooms because it only has one bathroom and that bathroom does not have a sink in it. I mean, I guess it has a toilet.
It's not hooked up to water though. Like we are actively going through like...
getting connected to the sewer and water system.
Right. Like we need to use the city's municipality and like sign forms to get it. It's not just like turn it on the street. It's like involves a number of experts getting water to the house again. It doesn't have a water heater. So even if we got water to the house, we couldn't take showers until we had the water heater hooked up. There are holes in the floor, which makes it sort of dangerous to walk around. So we have to patch those. Oh, and it has no HVAC. So like, obviously, can't move to Florida in June without air conditioning.
Yes. I mean, it has one, just doesn't work.
Right. So we're working on all of the systems from far away. But what I was going to say is like, I went from a few weeks ago being frustrated I only had spring break and it felt hard to do this long distance. But as of right now, it feels like I lost the spring break trip. And I just, you know, previous me was like, me, I only get spring break. And now like current me is like, I don't even get spring break.
I think once we went through the phases of realizing this is all going to change and our expectation for what's going to happen and the plan for it and the timeline we had like so carefully thought through is just, I mean, completely obliterated. Like, in all honesty, we have no idea what's going to be able to get done, how quickly it's going to be able to get done. And so right now, like, it may mean that we move at a different time than we were planning to. It may mean that we move to a different place temporarily, because if we can't get the house ready for us in time, maybe we have to go to a long-term rental temporarily. So I just don't know. Like, I think we were driving ourselves crazy a little bit last week and trying to think through all these scenarios. And I found, I guess, a lot of just like peace and the acceptance of like, I'm not going to be able to figure it out right now. Like, the unknowns are so great at this point that I should just let go of that for now and just roll with it. Like, I think this whole year I've been talking about my personal journey.
Which is what?
Of like dealing with letting go of plans or changing plans.
Oh, that is true. That's been a theme for John.
Yeah. So like
we can pivot. We don't have to be like doing what we said we'd do 10 years ago because we're following the path that previous us set 10 years ago.
Yes. And so, I mean, this is a crash course in it right now. If I hadn't prepared myself already, like I would have to learn it now, basically.
Well, I was just going to say, I also think in the midst of all this, like, oh, this stinks. The timeline is so sad. Like, what if we had already been in there and we could use this time to paint and like feather our nest? There just are so many other times that if this happened, it would be easier. But I'm also reminding myself that there are certain things that have happened that I'm very grateful for, like selling our house literally the weekend before all of this happened.
Yes. There are also a lot of worse times that this could have happened. Like, it is not ideal that we're in the midst of a major life change, you know, moving to a different state. But like I said to you last night, I'm grateful we're not in the midst of a kitchen renovation right now. I'm sure there's some people out there who are, and I feel for you because when we've done those, like, we haven't had access to our appliances sometimes, our sink sometimes, and that would have made staying at home and being comfortable cooking at home a lot harder. And so, like, I'm grateful our kitchen is up and running. I'm grateful our bathroom is done. Like, maybe this is putting too much of a positive spin on something, but maybe this whole experience for everyone is a good moment to, like, put things into perspective. Like, I'm not kidding myself that it's going to be this, like, rosy experience for everyone, because I don't think it is by any means, but I think we can do our best to make some good out of it. So we talked about how this is sort of throwing our Florida plans into turmoil, I guess, if that's the right word.
Just threw a big wrench in the middle of it.
Right. It also threw a big wrench in our house sales here in Virginia, because remember, we're in the process of selling our Richmond house and our two beach houses, the pink one and our duplex. And all three were under contract, but none of them had closed. Like, we did not have the final sale, the final monies dispersed from any of them yet.
You might remember, like, three or four episodes ago, John joked that we now own four houses and we're moving in the wrong direction. But we said, we're moving towards fewer. Well, the three houses that we were supposed to close within the next 2 weeks were kind of thrown into question mark territory, because we didn't even really think of this, but to sell a house, to close it, you need the title. And you get the title, you know, it's kind of like the deed, from the courthouse. Well, and courthouses here, they've been having closures and limited hours, and it's just kind of made everyone uncertain about if things can be done on time, or if they'll end up being delayed, or if they'll sort of end up being on hold indefinitely. And we're like, oh my gosh, we were literally within like 7 to 14 days of only owning one house instead of four.
I think actually the most severe thing that happened is that the markets and everything actually caused the duplex contract to fall through. We talked in the first episode this year about how we were selling our duplex rental property to our friends. And it has been a little bit of a longer process than we all anticipated just because of, you know, random things and processes that you have to go through to sell something. Especially this one was a bit more complex because it was a business selling to a business because we held it as a business ourselves, not us personally. And so it just took longer. And unfortunately, because it took longer, the closing and the final like evaluation of the financing and the loan started to happen after the market started to dip and people started to be a bit more cagey about loaning money, I guess. And I don't know the ins and outs of the loans that our friends were getting, but my understanding is that it was a business loan that was being partially evaluated on the viability of the rental business. And I mean, if you own an Airbnb or in any sort of travel thing right now, you know, that's not something you can really rely on like you would last year. Like lots of people are canceling things. They can't travel anymore. I mean, it all makes sense. Like, I'm not saying people should keep their Airbnb bookings just because they committed to them, but, you know, it's not the most steady time to be in the rental business right now. And so the bank just, I think, got nervous and said they couldn't do their loan. And so we couldn't sell it to our friends anymore.
Yeah, I know. We're so sad because they would have been just the perfect stewards. And it was strange, though, when it ended, they said and we said we all felt a little bit of relief just because we love them. And we were worried, like, what if Airbnbs don't pick up for a year because of, like, no one can predict the future.
Yeah.
And we would have felt bad if we were, like, leaving them holding the bag in some way, quote unquote.
I didn't want to pass on, like, a dud business to them, I guess. So
don't you call the duplex a dud.
Well, it wasn't a dud last summer.
That's what she said.
I don't get
that. I'm sorry, guys. That didn't even make any sense.
It doesn't.
We're beyond acceptance into loopy. You know when you stay up all night and you're just loopy? This is the morning. It hasn't even been all night. But we're like, I don't know. It just feels sometimes like, is this real life?
I feel mushy is the term I keep using. My brain feels mushy.
We try to go for family walks every day to get like fresh air and breathe outside. But I don't know. This might be the beginning of very loopy Peter Six.
People like a loopy Sherry video, though. This could be good. Anyways, let's close the loop on the duplex thing because
close the loop?
I walked into that one. Because like Sherry said, we are really sad about the sort of conclusion of this thing with our friends. There is that silver lining that maybe it was a blessing in disguise. The other, I guess, good news out of it, though, is that we still have found a way to sell it. There was a person who expressed interest in buying it during the time that we were working it through with our friends. And they were just kind of like, hey, if for some reason this falls through, let us know.
And past Jerry, who was so dumb about being upset that I only had spring break to work on the Florida house, that same dumb Sherry was also like, oh, this won't fall through, but like, okay, I'll take your number. And then I'm like cry calling them and saying, I think it's gonna fall through. Yeah.
So we feel fortunate that we have another contract on it already and that we are still going to be able to sell it because right now that's like kind of a condition of us being able to move to Florida. Like we can't have this property back here, like both for just our own ability to manage things and the time we have, but also like financially we need to sell it now. And so we're grateful we'll be able to do that. We're sad it's not our friends. We don't know the people that are buying it. It's happening through a realtor. So we don't know exactly their plans for it, but right now our understanding is that they are not planning to rent it.
It's an extended family, and there was talk of maybe doing some renting when they're not using it and maybe not doing that, depending on like how many personal effects they put in the house and then don't want to remove for people coming. And they even talked about like maybe one side doesn't get many personal effects and they rent that one side.
Yeah.
So we will keep you posted. It's really not our place to tell them what to do when they're buying something. But if it pops up on Airbnb, you know I'm going to link it if you guys want to stay there. So we will keep you posted.
So yeah, that's another like part of this that is a little bit sad because we were so excited about it kind of carrying on as it was when we were managing it. And now it's kind of out of our hands. So yeah, like Sherry said, we'll keep you posted if we know anything. But right now it is kind of, like other things, an unknown for us.
Into the unknown.
See, the singing. I can't
into
stop
the
it.
Unknown.
Not even isolation will stop
into
singing.
Into the unknown.
I don't know where to go from there. But I feel like I got out most of my thoughts and updates that we wanted to say about what has changed since last week to this week. And I'm sure it will change again before next week's episode. So I do have something completely unrelated to talk about. That is in a segment we call, Can We Just Talk About? Can we just talk about pooping?
I did hear feedback from last week's episode that was like, it would make a really good drinking game if people took a swig every time you said poo particles.
Yes, this is kind of a continuation of last week's bathroom talk. I figured in these times, we need some talk about toilets.
Some bathroom-related levity.
Exactly. We love talking about bathrooms in here because it's the great equalizer.
Do you guys know that children's book, Everybody Poops? Is that a children's book?
Yeah, it is.
Is it Everybody Toots?
I think there's both.
It's a franchise.
It is. No, the reason I wanted to talk about toilets is I came across an article from NPR recently. It's actually from their Planet Money podcast, which is a great podcast if you want to check it out. And it is entitled, Why America is Losing the Toilet Race, which I didn't know there was a toilet race, but apparently we're behind. Pun intended. And it was a fascinating article, I must say. I will link it in the show notes at younghouselove.com/podcast.
Sorry, that was a beautiful pun.
Thank you. Maybe my brain is not as mushy as I thought it was.
Oh, it's so funny.
So this article is written by someone who had recently traveled to Japan. And I guess the stark difference between the technological miracles that are Japanese toilets and America's clunky toilets, which they describe as a bedpan with a drain.
That's a burn.
Yes, it was a stark difference. And so she was trying to explore why America has not evolved to a better, more sanitary, more high-functioning toilet with, like, gizmos and gadgets and...
Maybe we're afraid of toilet robots taking over the world.
That's probably it.
Right? I think there's some truth behind that. You laugh.
No, she was just pointing out that Japanese toilets are marvels of technological innovation. They've integrated bidets, they have dryers, heated seats, they use water efficiently, clean themselves, deodorize the air. They even talk about ones with white noise machines.
For sleeping on the toilet?
I mean, this just says so you can fill your stall with the sound of rain for relaxation.
Oh, I know why.
And privacy.
It covers the bodily sounds.
Yes. Yeah, built-in nightlights and
but
music
But don't
players.
We all know when you put on, like, the Amazon rainforest track what's going on
I
in
I think
there?
You need, like, more like a thunderstorm. I mean, for me. I should... I'm talking personally.
Maybe you only need Babbling Brook out there if you're listening. I'm sorry, guys. This has turned into Drunk House Love without even being drunk.
Yeah, exactly. We haven't slowed it down at all. But it was kind of, I guess, interesting when I thought about it. Like, she says American toilets are kind of stuck in the age of we all basically just expect it to flush and that's it. And I also think there's a weird kind of, like, funny stigma, probably the reason why we're laughing about it, of, like, if you did have some gadget or feature on your toilet, like a bidet or a heated seat, like, that seems like, oh, look at you, fancy pants. Like, why is your bum, like, more special than mine?
Why do you have to coddle your butt so much?
Exactly.
It is weird, though, because almost every country embraces the bidet.
Their conclusion as to why these fancy toilets have not made their way to America is both, like, a technological and a cultural one, where just there are sometimes these invisible barriers where one technology is accepted somewhere and then it never catches on. And sometimes it's just a cultural one. I mean, the fact that, like, we still laugh about it being a bidet and, like, the idea of having one seems funny to us means that it's not normal here.
Well, our friends were buying a house and we were, like, visiting with them. We had a picnic outside because there was no furniture in the house. And the kids turned on the bidet. There was a bidet in this very fancy bathroom. And it shot at the ceiling. Like, we got the entire bathroom wet. There was talk of, like, do we even have paper towels here yet? Because, again, they hadn't moved in yet. We were just, like, hanging out at the house. What we ended up doing is using napkins from our sandwiches that we brought to the house for our picnic to try and mop up the fallout from the bidet.
Yes, clearly none of us knew how to use it.
I know, and they still are like, I think we're just going to replace it with a normal toilet. So we have a ways to go.
Yes. This did also prompt me to investigate a little bit because they did mention a technology from Toto, you know, Toto the toilet brand.
Uh-huh.
They have something that has been in the United States for years, I guess, called the Washlet, W-A-S-H-L-E-T. But they say it just has never really caught on. And let me tell you, their website is fascinating.
What do you mean?
Well, the way that they sell this thing, like, it's a modern website. Like, you go there, I'll link it in the show notes. You can see how they're pitching this device that you attach to your toilet. It's basically like a fancy toilet seat, I guess, that has a bidet. It has the open and closed.
Oh, it comes from the seat.
Yeah, it comes out of the seat.
Oh, I didn't realize that that was the way it worked.
That's the way this one works, at least. I just want to show you the website, too, because they have a video on it, like kind of a commercial. Mm. And you can tell they're delicately dancing around what it does.
Right.
So here's the website. You see there.
Oh, guys, headline. I'll just describe it. It looks like a white pen sticking out from the toilet seat. And there's like a squirter at the end of the bed. Yep,
there's a spritz of water coming out. It says, refresh your routine.
Okay.
See, they're very delicate
this
about
it. This is like, you guys, do you know that John and I worked in advertising in New York City? That's how we met. And one of the accounts we used to work on was Carefree.
Yes.
And we'd use the word refresh a lot.
Yes. It's a feminine product.
Feminine hygiene. And you wouldn't say very...
directly.
Yeah, you wouldn't actually say anything. You'd just say where it's like refresh or like enjoy the day.
Yes.
Like it was so vague.
Yes.
If you didn't know what the product was, you'd be like, what exactly are they selling?
And let's just say all the internal meetings were very eye-opening for a 23-year-old man. Okay, no, but I want to play you this video because you can see further how they kind of disguise what this is.
Okay. So it's a woman doing yoga.
Yeah, she's doing yoga.
It looks like a Peloton ad or something right now. She's got a tank top on.
She's washing her hands.
Now she's washing her hands, but is she washing them in the toilet? No.
No.
Now she's splashing water on her face. I hope it's not a toilet.
Now we're to a different character. This is a man pouring coffee.
Oh, he looks like Eric from True Blood.
But again, refresh your scene. There's the first toilet we see.
Right. So people were drinking coffee and doing yoga, but now we see a toilet out of nowhere. Oh, and then the pen comes down and it squirts.
Yeah.
So the last 1 second of the commercial gets to the meat of the commercial. Yeah,
the toiletness of the commercial.
And the rest is just inspirational people doing inspirational things.
Yes. We don't see a person near a toilet at all.
Right.
I will link this in the show notes if you want to watch it. They also have several like animations to the various features so you can see where they come from, how they come out, what they spray, all these things.
And I'm totally an American right now. I'm like, what if that thing malfunctions and shoots water somewhere I don't want it to? What if it pokes my body because it comes out at the wrong angle?
I think the other reason why this is not caught on is like you can buy it now. You can buy it from Amazon. You can buy it from Wayfair. Most models, I think, are in the like $400 to $500.
Oh my gosh, for the toilet seat?
Yeah, and so that is a pricey toilet seat for American standards because, I mean, I feel silly when I spend like $35 on one. Like, that seems like a lot. So to spend something that's $400, it also has to plug in, this one.
Oh, I have heard that. There's like a lot of you out there when we were renovating our bathroom told me, oh my gosh, I have a heated toilet seat and it's the best thing ever. And actually, one of the guys we're working with in Florida on the house, he randomly mentioned that his wife is obsessed with her heated toilet seat and he had to install an outlet behind the toilet to plug it in. Like on my list of problems, it's never like, I wish the toilet seat weren't so cold. I would describe the toilet seat as a neutral temperature.
Sometimes when it's warm, it's disturbing.
Right. I don't think I want to sit on a warm toilet seat. In the same way that in New York City, when I sat on the subway and the seat was too warm, it alarmed me.
Right. Exactly. But I think that's a barrier to acceptance of something like this because most of us don't have an outlet standard behind our toilet. So that's a lot of work to have like an outlet run.
I'm going to make a prediction that everyone international who's listening to us, I'm going to get a deluge of messages that are like, you guys are so weird. We all use bidets. We all have the heated fancy toilet.
Oh yeah.
I've heard there's like a lot more tankless toilets and toilets that mount on the wall in other countries. And they say it's just for ease of cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can imagine a floating toilet on the wall is so easy to clean under.
Yeah.
But I've been asked probably a dozen times why we don't have them. And I don't really have an answer other than we don't seem to like them because I know we could have them if we wanted it. Maybe our fear is that it would like fall on the ground while we're sitting on it. I don't know.
Well, if it's not how most houses are already plumbed, like if you don't have the pipes in the wall.
Oh, that makes sense.
They're in the floor. It's not an easy conversion to make. And then if there's also not a lot of options for sale, like if most standard toilets sold to you, like if you go into the aisle at Lowe's or Home Depot, like they're all on the floor. So you have to probably spend extra and do extra hunting to find a special one. So I think that's one thing that contributes to what is normal here versus what's normal somewhere else.
Totally.
And the other thing that I looked up, again, in my investigation of bidets, this is a very serious investigation, was the brand Tushy, which you guys maybe have seen or had advertised to you like on Instagram or something like that.
Tushy's having a moment right now because in the shortage of toilet paper, people are straight up selling out Tushy. Like people are buying Tushy left and right.
Oh, yeah. They're back ordered till the end of April, I noticed.
Wow.
And I will link in the show notes so you can go to the website. It's hellotushy.com. It is not tushy.com.
I've heard you don't want to go to tushy.com by accident. Hello is important.
I did that today.
Oh, did you do that? I've been hearing lots of people have been doing that, and I didn't think you'd fall for that.
I totally fell for it, and I hope my computer does not have a virus now. So just, yeah, fair warning. But I appreciate Tushy because they are embracing the weirdness of this topic. And I mean, the fact that it's called Tushy, I mean, it's a bidet that is a toilet seat attachment. Like it's a new toilet seat.
Oh, is it $400?
No.
Oh.
The regular Tushy, I think, is only about $100, but right now it was marked down to $80. And then there's also a Tushy Spa.
Whoa, what's that involve?
Well, I thought that might involve plugging it in, because the nice thing about Tushy is that it doesn't require the electrical plug.
Oh.
So it doesn't have a heated seat or
all
that
stuff. But
you
don't know what the spa does.
The spa, no, I looked it up.
Oh.
This was a serious investigation, remember?
Okay.
So the Tushy, as I understand it, and this is not sponsored.
This is just John doing his due diligence.
John being curious. No, the regular Tushy to install it, like I said, doesn't need an outlet. Like, there's no electricity to it. You just have to, I guess, attach it to your water line that is already running from your wall to your toilet.
Oh, that's very simple.
Yeah, so it's all...
Oh, it's like the diaper sprayer. Do you guys know we did cloth diapers with our kids?
Well, we did.
Yeah, a long time ago. Yeah. Now our children are not in cloth diapers. But there was an attachment...
They're not in any diapers. That's what I'm trying to be clear about.
Good distinction.
You're 5 and 9. They're not in diapers anymore.
But you used to attach it to that water line, and it was basically like a handheld sprayer that you could spray solids off the diapers.
Yeah.
Sorry if that grosses you out.
Oh, if they've been grossed out, they've left this conversation long ago. So that's how the regular Tushy installs. And my understanding is Tushy Spa, you actually have to run it to the hot water line under your sink. And so it can spray warm water.
Oh, because otherwise you're getting a blast of cold water.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, guys.
Yeah. And the Tushy Spa, I think, was only about like $30 more or something.
I hesitate to make this joke because it is a stretch. But I think the cold water Tushy might shoot itself in the foot. And by foot, I mean other region.
You don't mean the foot.
That sounds like a rude awakening.
Your pun was less successful than mine. They also, the Tushy brand has the Tushy Ottoman, which cracked me up. It's basically a squatty potty. You know the squatty potty, which is like...
I mean, a toilet ottoman is about the funniest concept I've ever heard in my
life.
That
is the best like branding spin I've heard in a long time with the toilet ottoman. You know, it's something you put at your feet to elevate your feet so you're squatting, because apparently that is a more...
productive,
biologically,
posture.
Yes, friendly way to use the restroom.
Our ancestors weren't sitting on a throne, guys.
Yes.
They were squatting.
Again, that has not normalized in the United States either.
Well, I don't know. I've been to some open houses with a squatty potty, and I've thought, interesting choice.
See, not normalized. The fact that you noticed and you remember.
I just thought, it takes a second to put it under the sink, and then we're not all thinking of what you're doing. Like, there's nothing wrong with using a squatty potty, don't get me wrong, but I don't want to picture the previous owner using a squatty potty during an open house.
It's not in your staging advice, right?
Right.
I don't know how much more downhill we can go. So we should wrap this up. But like I said, I will link in the show notes the article from NPR that sent me down this rabbit hole, and also to the Toto washlet and the Tushy at hellotushy.com.
Hellotushy.com.
Yes, the most important hello of your life. This is also all coming to you from the household that just ordered portable, what do you call them, pee bags?
Yes, they are. I didn't think we were going to get into all that.
I had to
call
you
out. Seeing as my friends are already very heavily making fun of me for this purchase.
Back in that negotiating phase where we were trying to figure out how we were going to travel to Florida to work on the house when we didn't want to go into like fast food restaurants or rest stops to use the bathroom, Sherry on Amazon, like a normal person, ordered something that I wish was not called this, but it's called the Travel John.
As your namesake.
Yeah.
It basically is a portable urinal, as it's described, and you press it up against your body, and you can go to the bathroom in it. You can do it in a car. You can do it by the side of the road.
This is just number one.
It's just number one. Yes, that's true. And it turns it immediately into a gel, so it doesn't smell. And there's a Ziploc closure at the top. You can reuse the bags till they're full, and they're immediately a gel. Like, you're not sloshing around. It's not like when you get a fish.
Is this sponsored?
No, this is not sponsored. You know when you get a fish at the pet store, and it sloshes around in the car, there's not going to be any sloshing at all. It immediately turns into a gel. It's a brilliant product.
You just ruined fish for everyone.
I'm going to link it in the show notes. I expect you all to make fun of me just like my friends are, but I'm telling you, someday this will come in handy. I read on the website that it's really helpful if you're in traffic and you really have to pee, and girls can use it. So even though it's called a Travel John, it's also
a Travel
kind of
Jane.
A Travel Jane. Yes, like I could use it in a pinch. I'm never going to regret having it, but I would regret not having it.
I have regrets about a lot of this. Buying it, talking about it. I brought it up. I mean, I think the only way out from here is just to take a quick break.
I always love it when a product that I bought and then dug on our podcast becomes an official sponsor, because then I have an excuse to basically re-dig them to you guys again.
Right. Sherry's referencing this week's sponsor, Rothy's, and I can vouch for the fact that she talks about them to her friends often. I don't think I've ever really remembered the name of the brand of shoes on Sherry's feet until Rothy's entered her life.
Yeah, and so my gateway Rothy's shoe that like sucked me into loving Rothy's was the Black Point, which I just learned is their number one seller with over 3,000 nearly perfect reviews. I feel very validated by that. But they're always launching new styles and colors, and they're all machine washable, and they're crazy comfortable. You'd never believe they were made from repurposed plastic water bottles.
Well, and now Rothy's is using that same knitting technology to make bags too. So like totes, handbags, even something called a dual zip crossbody, which is a lot of words that are kind of unfamiliar to me.
Oh, I love a crossbody.
Yeah, and the bags are made from plastics collected within 30 miles of coastlines, so you can feel good knowing that your new bag helped keep plastics from ending up in our oceans.
And Rothy's always offers free shipping on orders and returns, so check out all of their new bags and their shoes at rothys.com/YHL. That's rothys.com/YHL.
This week, Sherry is not digging the travel, John. I am not digging bidets. We have other things we are digging.
That's right. And what I'm actually digging, I think, can come in handy with all of us just sort of being at home a lot more these days. So I'm digging a show that we have discovered recently. It is called Lego Masters. Is it on Netflix?
It's technically on Fox, and we are watching it on Hulu. It was advertised to us while we were watching The Masked Singer, another show we've been enjoying as a family.
Yeah, we love it. Some of our friends are like, you know what's the worst show on TV? The Masked Singer. I'm like, hey, we like that.
I think we already had this conversation. But when I saw the Lego Masters commercials, I was like, that seems so dumb. Who wants to watch like a Lego building competition?
Well, it turns out the show is actually wonderful. It's hosted by Will Arnett, who John and I used to work with. I guess I worked with him more than you.
Yeah.
He did voiceover for GMC. I wrote the copy for GMC. I was literally putting words in Will Arnett's mouth. He was lovely. He's a wonderful human being.
But he's on the show because he is the voice of Lego Batman and the Lego movies.
So. Right. And he is the host. He is not an actual, like, what do they call them? Brickmasters?
Yeah, I think so.
Brickmaster, meaning the Lego bricks, are the contestants. And they're in teams of two. There's really interesting characters. Like, first of all, I like this show just for, like, the character development.
Right.
There's this, like, dad and his son, and they're always crying, and they're so cute, and I love them so much. There's these like two girls who love cosplay and they're always dressing up. Like they're fun just to see with my eyeballs.
Yeah.
I like to see like, oh, she's wearing fairy wings. That's an interesting choice.
Yes.
Like it's very colorful and interesting. It's great for younger kids. It's great for older kids. I think it's like the universal language of building these creations is really interesting for me and John and the kids. I also love to hear the feedback because I'm like, how do you exactly critique a Lego build?
Yeah, I think that was my fear in seeing the commercials. I was like, oh my gosh, how did they turn this into a show? But the production value is very high and intense. And they do it almost kind of like a Project Runway where they give them a very specific building challenge. Like, I think one of the more interesting ones was they gave them half of an object, like half of a cuckoo clock or half of a bicycle or half of a scuba helmet. And originally I thought the challenge was going to be like, you have to build the other half out of Lego and see how like realistic you can make it. But no, their challenge was to build a like scene or creation off of it that had like a different interpretation of it. So like the other half, I think of the fire hydrant maybe had like a mermaid splashing out of it. And so the creativity of these challenges actually is really interesting to watch. And beyond just the skill of the people building with Legos, like it's just fascinating to see people work through the creative process. And Will Arnett is actually a really charming and funny host.
He's very funny in it. And also, I like how they're like, when you get eliminated, they're like, please put your minifigures on the wall.
Yes.
And you put these little Lego people that look like you up on the wall and you exit. And it's very somber, but it's also kind of funny.
It's all very dramatic. There's lots of lighting effects. And I think not only does it act as a nice like time occupier, like if you're looking for a show for your kids to watch or something for you to watch as a family, like after dinner, it's a good family show. And I like that it also has this element of probably sparking more interest and creativity in your kids, because this is like a very direct thing. Like they can go watch Lego Masters and then go play Lego. Like Will Arnett was very specific. It's not Legos. It's Lego or Lego bricks.
I like saying Legos. Deal with it.
I will not deal with it.
Agree to disagree. I will continue to say Legos.
Well, and what I'm digging this week also kind of falls in this vein of like, if you need something to do with your kids or also just kind of like keep your days on track right now, I am digging charts.
It was only a matter of time, guys, before John dug charts on this podcast.
Next week, pie graphs. It's not a pie graph. What am I even talking about? It's a pie chart.
Brain mush.
No, the specific thing I'm digging is that to encourage a little bit of daily activity while it's, you know, still okay for us to go, you know, on family walks around the neighborhood and stuff and get some fresh air, we are going to track our mileage and our destination. I printed out just a one-page sheet that has like a little map of our neighborhood that I just printed from Google Maps and then some blank lines. And so after we go on each walk, we're putting an X to where we walked to, like our destination, and then we're recording how far we went. I downloaded a little app called, I think, Map My Walk. It's by Under Armour or something. It was free, and it was something I could download to be separate from my run tracking app because I didn't want to confuse the two. And so,
or make the world think you were running the slowest mile of your life. Yes, exactly. With two children walking.
Yes. It is not a speed thing, obviously, but I thought it would be nice to have some sort of routine. I'm not saying like I think it's necessary to schedule our entire day. Like we walk at 2 p.m. every day. It's not like that. But I think it has just added one sort of fixed point in our day that is nice. And I think the recording of it, which so many of us do automatically through apps, like if you have Fitbit, it's probably recording the mileage you do. I think it is nice to have this analog way that we as a family can see and we as a family can participate in. So I'm not suggesting necessarily you need to chart only walking because that may not be a good fit, but I think maybe it might be helpful to keep track of the books that are being read, or like our son's kindergarten teacher sent home like a weather chart so that he can record like if it's cloudy or sunny or rainy each day, like something that is a little bit of routine has felt nice to have for us.
Yeah, and I'm surprised by our mileage. I think the first day we did 1.6 miles. The second day we did 2.1 miles.
Yep.
And the kids were not complaining. And I don't know if it's just the charting of it. I think it also...
No, it's not just the charting of it.
Guys,
charts never solve everything.
I'll teach you a little trick. Each of our kids has little fanny packs that they got from their grandparents. And we have said, hey, put a snack in your fanny pack and some sort of fun, like, supply, quote unquote. So they might put like a Band-Aid in there in case they skin their knee, or like a flashlight because it's fun to shine that on like a leaf as they're walking. And the packs have really been helpful because nobody wants to go for a walk. Suddenly I'm like, put a snack in your pack, and everybody's like so excited to go on their walk.
It makes a neighborhood walk, like a normal neighborhood walk past the things they see every day, feel a little bit more like a hike, like an adventure, I guess, is what we're trying.
Yeah, it's working for now.
Yes.
Thanks for listening to Young House Love Has a Podcast.
And I'm going to skip my usual rating and review spiel and just say this. Please remember to wash your hands, stay home as much as you're able to, and check in on anyone who may need it. You know, even if it's just a quick call or video message to offer someone a little human interaction.
Yep, and we're sure we'll be getting a lot more I Listen to Your Podcast While at Home Doing Blank updates, but we got this sweet one from a few weeks back from Aaron on Instagram, who listened while driving to houses to help kids with autism and their families.
And pardon this transition, but if you want to read that toilet article or see the links to the bidets or Sherry's travel pee bags, head over to this week's show notes at younghouselove.com/podcast.
And we'll also link to ways you can help during this pandemic, like donating any dust masks you might have in your workshop.
Later.
Bye. Guys, something to teach you. You know that sound? From Frozen? Re-listen to Pocahontas, the movie, because there's a song that uses those exact same notes, and it goes, wait for me, dream giver.
Sherry's convinced that Disney plagiarized itself.
They did. You know that song? Or do you still wait for me, dream giver?
No.
Just around the river.
Okay, I do know that song.
Guys, I think there's a correlation with high stress and lots of singing on the podcast.
I'll see how much I can edit out, guys. Just know whatever you're hearing, it was probably twice as much for me.